The champion marched for 40 days, saying, "Give me a man to fight." The Israelites said, "We got a brave heart, but our feet are sort of full of fright." Then a boy with a sling, a pocket full of rocks, that knew how to trust and pray, said, "If you're going to run, Goliath, you might as well take off now, because I came here to stay." Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. Now that the decree had been signed by the hand of the king, Daniel still prayed to the Lord. The hungry lions pacing the den. "Here comes supper," one roared. And if you'd have been standing anywhere close, you'd have heard Brother Daniel say, "If you're talking about me, forget it, boys. I came in here to stay." Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came. Now, the boys wouldn't bow. The king got mad and said, "Turn that old furnace up. High time up. Throw them on in. The Hebrew boys are going to fry." A little while later, he looked in the furnace. He heard Brother Shadrach say, "Pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hands. We came in here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will." I want all the preachers to stand, every preacher. I've got a sermon, a stanza I wrote for you. On the way to Dallas in the plane. Now the preachers wouldn't bow. The state got mad and said, "Turn those rules up high. Time up. Put the pressure on them. Their freedom and liberty is going to die." A little while later, they looked in the churches. They heard God's prophets say, "We may burn, but we'll never bend. Our God's just the same today." Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
March on, march on, follow the mighty commander. March on, march on, Jesus our captain and Lord. March on, march on, see that your steps never falter. March on, march on, healing in every word. There's a song that bends with prayer. There's a sound upon the earth. There's a song of grace, the free, of grace, the free. There's a song of victory, victory.
I humbly now against the only Father is my sin. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. O purify my life without within. A contrite heart I offer thee, dear Father. O hide thy face from all my sin, I pray. According to thy tender love and mercy, O pardon, Lord, this soul that went astray. I humbly now acknowledge my transgression. Against the only Father is my sin. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. O purify my life without within. O purify my life without
Okay, just kidding. I gotta do my favorite one. My theme song.
We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's Him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must there be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. All right. out of there for a second. Let me do something here. You know, I wanted to bring you this here today. Actually, and the reason for that is just twofold, actually. When I got off my broadcast on Monday, sometime Monday or maybe it was Tuesday, I don't remember. But anyway, actually Tuesday morning when I came into my office, I said, you know, in praying, I was like, Lord, I don't really want to deal with any of this other stuff anymore. You know, for a while, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the politics. I'm tired of the nonsense and the garbage of everything. I've taken the scriptures. I've showed the truth. I've done that when it comes to this issue, our present political state. And I believe I've done what needs to be done with that for now. There may be other things that come up later, but I really don't want to deal with that. I want to deal with straight Bible. And I want to teach some Bible. And you know, as soon as I said that or shortly after that, I was going through my normal Bible devotions in Judges. I finished the book of Joshua, and I've got that pretty much outlined out for what I'm going to preach through. And we're still only on Joshua chapter 2, and we're still going to be on Joshua chapter 2 on Sunday. But I started reading through the Judges, and the Lord just gave me some good things, you know, to teach on. And I thought, you know what, I think I'm just going to teach on these things. And there are things that the Apostle Paul talked about in the Scriptures, or Peter talked about, actually. I'll give you a verse for it right here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. So, you know, there are people that wrest the scriptures. They take them and they wrestle them. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it means like they wrest out the interpretation. They wrest out the text, out from its meaning. And the reason, you know, so I'll get into that, why this is so important. Let me, you know, I need to have a pen here because I should jot. Oh, I got a pencil right here. I should jot things down here so I don't forget them. Because I'll forget them in my scatterbrained mind. And I've already got this text in here. But I want to lay the groundwork for this. But first, before I get to all that, let me say hi to everybody. I don't anticipate there being 120 people on here today. This is sound doctrine. And that usually doesn't draw the masses. What draws the masses is the latest controversies that come up, the latest challenges and the... You know, the surprise stuff and all that kind of junk. So, anyway, so that's okay, though. I'm not looking to draw masses. I'm looking just to bring the truth. And whatever the Lord does with it is fine. You know, that's the truth is the truth, and it's much needed. But let me say hi to everybody first. And slow things down a bit. We're not in any hurry now. We're back to our normal schedule. Pending any baby coming along the way here that we may have, I plan on keeping my normal schedule, and I did a ton of studying this morning for a number of different things, you know, for my normal Bible devotions, and then for my sermon tonight that I'm going to preach as we continue to expository preach through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14 we're on, and we're right around verse 6 through 20, and we'll be back there again this week. Some interesting things that come up. Don't miss that one. We're getting the other one uploaded. It's not quite there yet. Let me see. That might be ready. Maybe it is there now, and I just have to release the Kraken. Oh, wait. No, that's not the Kraken. Never mind. Let's see here. We'll see if it's on there. Let's see. Yep, looks like Brother Andrew got it on there. Let's see here. He did release it this afternoon. The Perils of Preaching in Acts chapter 14. So there you go. He did release a new one there, and I got to get some stuff over to Sermon Audio, and we got to get all that stuff caught up and get moving. The problem is when you keep moving really fast, you always got something to talk about. You always got something to do. It just keeps it moving. But anyway, so that's good. I'm glad that's on there. And you listen to that one. I'll have another one on tonight. And hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. Amen. And anyway, so let's say hi to everybody. Okay, Peter. Peter, I just want you to know I wore my Flat Earth Society shirt to bed last night, man. I wore that. It's part of my evening attire now. So, let's see. Pilgrim Ladies on there. Joe McDonald. Carrie, Jesus is Lord. Mary Teresa. Kelly, how are you? Andrea, how's that baby doing? How are you all doing there in Iowa? Every time I think of Iowa, I just want to eat big fat tenderloins. Big fat pork tenderloins. I'm glad I don't live in Iowa because I'd be eating big fat pork tenderloins all the time. Because they make the best tenderloins ever. And if you're ever in Des Moines, you got to go to, what's the name of that place? I just forgot it. See how that works? Man, my wife will remember it. Put it on there, Hannah. I don't remember it. Anyway. Truth Seeker. John. Deborah. The Deborah Dilemma. We're talking about you today, Deborah. Let's see. Carrie Acker. Leno. From India. Carl Winters. The infamous Carl Winters. John Not So Hippie. Okay, Peter and John have weird, or Peter and Carl have really weird messages back and forth to each other that I probably don't want to read. Okay. What's the Kraken? That's supposed to be the computer that has all the secret decoder ring information that's going to make Trump the president of the United States. Secret decoder ring stuff. Okay? What's the matter with you, Paul? Not knowing how to release the Kraken. And you just had a tenderloin? What? Oh, those are so good. I can't have any anyway. I'm on keto. I'm only like 1 pound away from being back to where I was at before. I ate all Dave's fudge and ate a bunch of junk food for like 4 or 5 days, which is only a week it took me. That wasn't bad, was it? Anyway, I enjoyed it. It was fun. Sometimes you got to treat yourself and have a break. I also ate... I can't actually make keto tenderloins. What you do is you take almond flour and you cook them in almond flour. You take the pork loin, you cook it in almond flour. Carl, I'm so glad that your wrist is straight now and you started eating meat again. Man, Carl, is that ever a blessing. I was getting a little worried about you, Carl, not eating meat anymore, man. You were starting to worry me a little bit. I thought you were turning a little bit into a fruit salad. Just getting a little concerned for you, Brother Carl. I'm glad you're eating meat again. I can talk to you again on a more of a regular basis. You were just concerning me a little bit. Not eating meat. I don't know about them guys that don't eat meat, man. I don't know. I wonder about them fellers that don't like eating meat. Something wrong with them guys. They get a little squirrely. You gotta have some meat. Look, if I made some venison jerky, I might send you some. Maybe to you, Peter, but I'm not sending it all the way over to Carl. It costs like $850 to send Carl something. I know you like meat, Carl. Also, I think what contributed to me gaining 3 pounds was Paul's. Actually, it was 4 total, but I have it almost all off now. But I think actually what it was Paul's turkey fryer. We fried turkeys in peanut oil, and man, was that good. And that was good stuff. That stuff's enough to make a Presbyterian shout, man. Dude, I'm telling you, Dave makes such good fudge that if you eat it, it's like crack. It's like crack. It's very addictive. Okay? Yes, a whole turkey. What do you think we did? Cook a wing? What do you think we cooked? The turkey leg? We cooked the whole turkey. What's the matter with you? We're Americans. Don't you know we can't do anything in moderation? We have to cook the whole thing? You know, this is much more fun to talk about than politics, isn't it? I haven't even got into it yet. Look, Carl, I got to bring you to America sometime and have you eat with us. I don't know what you people eat over there, but you need some help. I had some English chap tell me one time, Pastor Cooley, you don't have chocolate. He said we didn't have chocolate. He said what you guys call chocolate isn't chocolate. I was like, well, it tastes like chocolate to me. Anyway, he's right though. Our stuff's all full of sugar. Is that what it is? Is that all those people stay so skinny over there? They don't eat any meat ever? What kind of steak do you like, Carl? From what animal? That's what I'm wondering. What do you eat, like orangutan steak over there or something? What exactly do you eat over there? Man, I think Mary probably cooks some really awesome food. That's what I think. I think Mary probably could cook me some really good food. That's what it sounds like. Am I right, Carl? Could she cook some mean food or what? That sounds like it. I bet you they got some dishes from where she's from that are really, really, really good. And I like trying different stuff. Almost anything once. Almost anything. I have to preface that. I don't want like deep fried orangutan or anything. But if you breaded it, I might eat it. Wow, that sounds good, man. Okay, well, now that I said hi to everybody, there were two turkeys and at least one was a 30-pounder. That's correct, Rachel. And thank you for praying for Brother Aaron. Indian food, all you people do is cook it hot. Everything you make, like, burns your mouth off. It's supposed to be fun. I don't want to sit on a toilet for, like, 3 days straight. Although I try it. As long as it wasn't, like, super hot that it, like, made my mouth explode and me not be able to, like, talk or be sicker than a dog from it. What's a tripe? What in the world's a tripe? You know, I better get going, because if I don't, people are going to get mad at me and say, why don't you get going? Why do you have to come on here and talk like you like people? Why can't you just teach what you have to teach and quit talking to people? Right? Jacob, how did I know you would know what that is? I'm Canadian. We do poutine and beaver tails. I don't know what that is. Sheep intestine? I don't know about that. I'm not a big fan of lamb, though. I don't really like the way it tastes. I'm not really a big fan of lamb. Paul knew what it was. Paul knew. Paul, are you playing hooky from work on here? What is all this talk about food? I don't know. We're all humans, so we eat it. Right? We eat food. Smoked lamb chops are awesome. Eh. I think I want to buy some smoked turkey legs now. I think I want to get some turkey legs and smoke them. I wonder if they have them. Anyway. Alright, I suppose I better get going, otherwise people are going to get mad at me. And then Chainbreak comes in all completely sanctimonious and says, I was eating salad, you little losers. Brother Peter, oh, Paul's wife made pickled eggs. Paul's wife, she seriously made pickled eggs. Those were really good. I think I ate three of them. But maybe it was two. I don't know. Andrea, you've never been to a state fair until you've been to a Minnesota state fair. They have the best food. No, it's pickled eggs in a big old jar, pickled. Ask Paul, I don't know how they make it, I just ate them. Pickled like your liver. All right. I suppose I better get teaching you all something. You didn't come on here to have me talk about food. Although I could wax eloquently about food. I absolutely could. I do like Euros. I do like those Thomas Baxley. I do like those. I guess that is lamb. I just don't like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Anyway. So, well, you know, I thought I'd just kind of take it easy a little bit. I had like a week's worth of broadcasts that were like super heavy and dealt with all the insanity of the fake, phony cartoon character world that we live in. And now we're going to get back to Bible. Straight Bible today. So, we're going to deal with some problem texts in the Bible. Now, the only problem lies with our understanding. There's nothing wrong with God's Word. God's Word is complete and whole and perfect, and there's nothing wrong with it. There are no contradictions in the Bible. The contradictions are in our brains. They're in our heads. They're in our hearts. That's where the contradictions are, okay? They're not really in the Bible at all. But sometimes there are things hard to be understood. And that's reality. You know, we have to understand that some things are easier to understand the scriptures. Some things are a little bit more difficult. And they take a little bit more time to understand. And sometimes we got to walk through some things. And you know what? I've taught some things. I talked about it on Sunday. I taught one thing and I taught it wrong for years, and the Lord revealed unto me that I was wrong about it. You know? So, you know, it's, there are things like that in the scriptures that, you know, they take time to discern. They take time to go through. And, you know, you may change some of your interpretation on some things or your understanding on some things as time goes and you mature and you study things more. Things like from heliocentricity to geocentricity. You know, things like keepers at home. You know, a lot of people didn't know about keepers at home. And then they read it in the scriptures and they study it out and they come to the understanding, oh, wow, that's what the Bible teaches about that. Pre-trib, post-trib, you know, some of those things. I've had a change in positions on those over the years. It's not something I want to fight about or argue about because I don't think it's profitable to. But I've changed my mind about a few of those things. You know, so there's things that we learn along the way. Jephthah's vow. I taught one way in the beginning, long time ago about Jephthah's vow, and I teach it different now. We're going to talk about Jephthah's vow, not today, but we're going to talk about it in Bible contradictions or things hard to be understood or problem texts. We're going to talk about it in this series about Jephthah's vow. And then we're going to talk about the issue of, you know, Sunday I kind of dealt with this same thing with Rahab the harlot. Rahab lied, you know, and was God okay with her lying? Well, absolutely not. He wasn't okay with her lying. But did God bless her leading out the spies and everything? Absolutely he did. But that doesn't mean that God was okay with the spy, with her lying. Okay, so there's things in the scriptures that can be a little bit hard to understand. And the Bible talks about how can I except a man teach me? So there are times that we need taught through things, we need to understand things better. And learn that there are no, like with Rahab, God hates lying. Let God be true and every man a liar. So God doesn't want us to lie. But he still used Rahab the harlot even though she wasn't truthful. He still used her. in that sense. Remember, so go back and listen to that. That's kind of along the same lines of understanding that we can come to with this, and we can learn and we can grow through the scriptures. So we're going to look at Deborah today. Now, I'm not going to get into the way I taught, you know, the way I've preached very strongly against feminism. I'm not really going to get into that today. That's not really the point of the sermon or of the teaching today. If you want to hear my hardcore teaching on the menace of feminism, you can go look at that series, The Menace of Feminism. And you can see what about Deborah and other silly excuses women use to usurp authority over men. One of the classic titles, I might add. One majorly classic title, I would say. Right? Another good one is Weaponized Feminism, When Eve Attacks Adam. Another classic. Right? Another classic there. So anyway, but we talk about Deborah. We're going to talk about Deborah today because we see, look, something's going on in this story. And it seems like it, if I just look at it and don't understand the entire context, I might get confused. Okay? You know, I might get confused. And I might not understand that. I just changed that to a question mark because I don't want anybody to be confused about that. Whether or not, because somebody just clicked on here, are you saying that the Bible has contradictions? No, I'm not. The contradiction is always in our heads. So God's word is complete and thorough all the way through it. And there is no problem with that. And but these kind of titles, what they do is they make people search out the scripture or search out the topic and find some understanding. But problem texts are in the Bible in that sense. The problem is not in the text. The problem is in our brains. Okay? Problem is in us. And Peter talked about. Okay, Peter talked about that. Things hard to be understood. There are some things like that in the scriptures that we have to kind of dig through a little bit. We got to dig deeper into and try to find the understanding of. And one of those things is feminism. Or not feminism, but Deborah. In the sense of Deborah was this female. She was a prophetess. She was a judge. She did all these things, and what was she exactly? Where does it fall in line with the scriptures? How God said that women are not to usurp authority over the men, that women are not to be in leadership, and all those things, and we come to that. So, what's going on here? Well, there's first some principles that we got to lay down here of understanding, okay? All right, there's some things that we have to understand as we lay down some facts about the book of Judges. Things that are true about the book of Judges that God said in His Word. Now, so when we start reading in Judges chapter 2, I want you to go there first. Now, Israel is in trouble in Judges chapter 2. God is not happy with them. An angel of the Lord came to see them. So turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 2. And the angel says, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. And I have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. So we're already seeing some principles laid down. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim. and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. Now it's interesting that Joshua lived 110 years old. He lived a long time. You know, that 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness due to the other people's sins, God really gave back to Joshua. Because if you see Joshua's life, the number of a man is 70 years. God gave him that 70 years plus the 40 that he lost. How about that? Think about that. 70 plus 40 is what? 110. That ain't no accident, is it, my friend? Nope. God gave it back to him. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Why don't you mark that in your Bible if you take notes, or mark it where you take notes and show that God gave him 70 plus that 40. You know, when God puts you through a trial, there's a lot of men that think they're going to die young and they're going to go through all these things. A lot of times that doesn't happen. A lot of times God adds to their years. I thought, man, I've been through a lot of things in 4 years. I wonder if it took a bunch of years off my life. Well, maybe not. Maybe it'll make me wise in the latter half of my years. Amen. God's able to restore the years of your life. Joshua ended up getting a normal 70 years plus the 40 that in the wilderness. That's pretty cool. Anyway, I just noticed that just now. And also that generation were gathered of their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So, now, this is prefacing the book of Judges. This is telling you what the book of Judges is about. And what's going to happen in the book of Judges. So it's teaching us the scriptures. It's teaching us when you take the book of Judges, you can't just take a couple verses and be like, okay, there it is. Judges chapter 2, verse number 7 through 12 here is where we're at right now. We're just laying down a foundation. So, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So what happens? They knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. So what's going to happen? Consequently, verse 11 happens. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. So, let me help you with something. When you stop following God, your options stink like a fat turd. Okay? When you stop following God, your options stink. Your options are very limited. Stop serving God, start serving idols. It's the way it goes because God made man's heart to worship him. He made the heart of man four chambers. He made it for him to sit on your heart. That's how God made man. So what principles do we see here, or what things do we see that preface Judges? And we're going to get into more, but let's look at this. Number one, they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. His ways and his worship. There you go. His ways and his worship they forsook. Let me ask you a question, friend. Do you think if you forsake the works and the ways of the Lord, if you forsake worshiping the Lord God and you forsake his works and his ways, you think you're going to make some bad decisions? Yeah, because you're going to reason out of your own heart, or you're going to take the ways of the heathen and the ways of the world and you're going to take their ways on. So you're going to start making decisions without the Bible, or a mixture, a mixed multitude. So it says here they followed strange, so they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, his ways and his worship, and they forsook the Lord and they served Baal and Ashtaroth. Okay? What do we find in Baal and Ashtaroth worship? Feminism. We find male-female. We find the philosophies of equality. You say, do you think that affect Israel and its leadership? Oh, you bet it did. Look at ours. When this country was founded, there were strong Christian families. Yeah, there were Jesuits and Masons, and I know that, and I can teach it all to you, and I will someday. But I get it, okay? But there were God-fearing people as well. And society was more God-fearing. And now you have the Baphomet, that's right, Carl, the Baphomet unisex society. That's what you have. So now what do you see in D.C., Baphomet? Anyway, I won't go down that way. Baal and Ashtaroth. That's what you see. You see a mixed multitude. You see that they forsook the Lord God and they follow idols. Okay? So, in the philosophy of what's going on, that's what you have to understand. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, his ways and his worship. They followed strange gods and their ways. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them. The Bible says that God was angry with them, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them, verse number 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. God delivered them into the hands of their enemies. They couldn't stand before their enemies. So you don't have men anymore that are standing. And what do we find? We find a woman that rises up in Deborah to their shame. It's a shame and reproach, and I'll show you that. You say, does Deborah speak for female leaders? Is there a contradiction in the scriptures? No. Because the Bible never says that God approved of that. It absolutely never says that God approved of that. Just because it was done and just because God delivered Israel, it does not mean that he approved of that. God delivered them into the hands of their enemies. They couldn't stand before their enemies. The hand of the Lord was against them. They were greatly distressed. And God left those nations to try them and their faithfulness. So the Bible says that God left those nations. He said, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Because God used it to try them. Are you going to take their philosophies? Are you going to take the philosophies of those other nations? Now, I liken that to the church, not to America. I'm talking to the churches. I'm talking to God's people, to Christians. And I'm saying to you, the challenge that we face today is whether or not we are going to accept the world's philosophies or we accept God's commands. See, that's the true challenge. The true challenge today is, which has always been, whether we will do that or not. Now look at Judges. Here's another problem. See, God's principles were already set. God's commands were that men were to lead. God never ordained a woman to lead. He never called upon a prophetess. Right? He never did that. God never did that. But what happened? Well, Israel is in a state of degeneracy at this time. They're in a state of absolute denying the God, not really denying everything about God, but they forsook the Lord their God. There arose a generation that knew not the Lord. They raised up themselves in a different, something different. They followed the world. Now turn to Judges chapter 3. Because God left their nations to... God left those other nations to try them. Judges chapter 3, are you with me? I hope you're still with me. There's more of you coming on here. But I hope you're paying attention to your Bible. Hope you're in your Bible. If you're driving, I realize you can't be in your Bible. So I'll read it to you. Amen. All right. Judges chapter 3, verse number 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many as Israel had not known all the wars of Canaan. God left them, those nations, to try their faithfulness. Here's another thing that you have to understand. You got to understand that God left them to prove them, to try them, so they would know what was in their hearts. So God tried them by that. God taught them how to war by those nations. You know, God leaves things in your life. God leaves things in your life to try you. God doesn't dispel all your enemies. That's the one thing God taught me about four years ago. That he wouldn't destroy all my enemies, but he would leave some of them to try me. And I needed it. It says here, to prove them, to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel's had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them to teach them war. At the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. They didn't know how to war. So God taught them how to war through those nations. Namely, the five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Okay, now here's another thing they did, which led their people astray. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. You know, you want to lose your family? Let your son date a stinking heathen woman. Or a woman not of like faith. You want to lose your daughter? Let your daughter marry some fly-by-night fake Christian. Right? Let them do that. Okay? And you'll lose them. You'll lose them. Let them date somebody that's not equally yoked with them of the same faith. The same practice. And again, he says they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam in the groves. And the children of Israel, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Shushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Shushan Rishathaim 8 years. Okay, now, God left the nations to try them by war to see if they would be faithful. They gave their daughters to the heathens and their sons to the heathens. You know, another principle found in Judges. Something else you need to consider. Turn to Judges chapter 17. When you want to find out kind of the theme or what's going on in the book of Judges, there are things that God says about in the book of Judges that was going on and some of the problems that existed. Judges chapter 17, verse number 6. This is another thing that would lead to improper leadership in Israel. Judges chapter 17, verse number 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Turn to Judges 21 again. 21. Suppose I could do it on here too. And verse number 25. It's a second witness. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, that's really what was going on in Judges. Remember, what'd they do? They forsook the Lord. They knew not the works of the Lord. They followed not God's ways. All of those things they did. They worshipped and served Baal and Ashtaroth, the groves. Right? That's what they were doing. So now we come to Judges chapter 4. Okay. And then things looked strange, kind of. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Now we come to Deborah, in verse number 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. So now we have a woman. Now we have a woman that rises up here. Why? Well, there's not a man around. Does that mean that God wanted him to do it? There's not a man that would rise up. Does that mean that God was in it? That God was okay with it and that's God's plan? No, we have the place of the prophetess. What does Judges say that she is? And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel. So she's a prophetess. Now, let's go to Numbers chapter 12, because that's the first time you're going to see prophetess, is Numbers chapter 12. So let's go there. What exactly is a prophetess? Well, we know that Miriam was a prophetess. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out, and the Lord came down the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. And with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall be he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, behold, she was leprous. See, God struck Miriam. She was a prophetess. Is that an office? No, I don't believe so. Nope. It wasn't an office. Nope. I don't believe a prophetess is the same as a prophet. When we look at that, which we're going to look at in a minute, Miriam got in trouble when she spake against Moses and his leadership and his headship. God dealt with her. When man is in his rightful place of authority, God will put down the Jezebel spirit, which he hates. When we look at that word prophetess, we're going to look at that right now. It is 8 times in the King James Bible. Okay? And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. So Miriam is first called a prophetess. And one thing we see about these prophetesses, they're always singing. They really had more to do with singing than they did anything else. They weren't an office in that sense. They weren't a position of authority. So when we look at her, when we look at her, and we look at every example of the prophetess in the scriptures, which is what we're kind of going to look at, we'll kind of notice some things. So let's look at these. We'll follow them down. The second time we see that, if you type this into the King James Pure Bible search, you'll see it in chronological order. In Exodus, so Deborah's the next one. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. She judged Israel at the time. Deborah is a prophetess first, in that sense. She's the wife of Lapidoth, okay? She's the wife of Lapidoth. She judged Israel at the time. So we see these examples, right? The next time we see that is Hilkiah the priest. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse number 14. What was going on in Israel at the time? Well, it was a shame. Just like this is a shame with Deborah, and we're going to get back to her, but it was a shame for Deborah to do what she did. It was a very shameful situation. Not as much for her as it was for Israel. It was a shame. God was not happy with Israel. Israel was not in a place of godliness. Okay? Look what's going on here. The next time we see prophetess, we see it in this context in 2 Kings chapter 22. Verse number 8, and Hilkiah the priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Whoa, wait a minute here. Israel is a mess in this chapter. They don't even have the book of the law. What do you mean you found it? They weren't reading the Bible. They weren't reading the law of God. The king, they had pagan, kings that had turned over to idolatry. They weren't reading the word of God. They weren't following God's precepts. They were in rebellion to God, as Israel was in Judges chapter 3 with the rise of Deborah. Absolute rebellion. It was a sad state of affairs in Israel. Just like here. They were amazed that they had found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. He said, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. So they don't even have a man among them. Which we're going to get to, by the way. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikim and Akbar and Shaphan and Asahiah went under the hold of the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, keeper of the wardrobe. So that's who she is. Not really a place of authority. She's the only one that read the book. God uses godly women. But she's not in any authority. She's just delivering a message. But that's to the shame of Israel. There's no men. There's no men. Okay? So the next time we see it again is the Hilkiah. It's in 2 Chronicles. Now look at it here, Nehemiah 6:14. This is Nehemiah talking. He's dealing with Tobiah and Sanballat. He said, and lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so, and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So here's Noadiah. Here's a prophetess that was teaching lies. But again, where is Israel at this time? The walls of Israel are broken down. The temple worship, or the worship of the Lord in the temple is not going on. The sacrifices aren't being done. The nation is in a shambles. They've been taken to Babylon. The nation is in a state of rebellion, disobedience, and judgment of God. They're in a place of judgment. Okay? That's where they are. But again, this prophetess isn't of anybody of any power or authority. It's not an office. I'm not saying it doesn't have any respect or anything like that, or you're not kind. Isaiah is the next time we see it. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. That said the Lord, then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahar Shalah Hashbaz. That's a mouthful. Then Luke 2:36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years old. 4 years, 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she came in that instant, gave thanks and likewise unto the Lord, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Right? So, that's what's going on. And the last time we see prophetess, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophet, a prophetess. See? Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. What'd she do? Well, she called herself a prophetess and took authority in the churches. Now you see all the charismatic movement? Now you see Beth Moore, that witch? Every time I get an opportunity when I'm on Twitter, I troll Beth Moore's page, and I tell her she's a witch that should go home and make cookies. Not every time, but a lot of times. She's a witch. Mm-hmm. She is a witch. Paula White, all of them. That's who they are. That's not who Deborah was. Deborah was a godly woman, I believe. The Bible is not speaking horribly about Deborah. Okay, I'm going to stop here and do some teaching right here to whatever the weird meme guy is here. And I know I don't have to. I could just erase it. But guys, can I remind you of something? What happens every time I preach on that spirit right there? Look what comes up. Every time. Who's with me? Come on. Somebody give me a witness out there. Give me a witness out there. Say amen, even if it kills you, like one preacher said. Say it even if it kills you. How many times do I bring that up, and there's always some poop in the punch bowl? Always somebody's got to come up and defend Jezebel. How many times does it happen? Come on, let me hear it. You know it. All 60 of you people, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, you know full well. It happens. All I gotta say to you is this thing right here. I'll let scripture reprove you right here. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who was a witch. Who was a witch. Thank you very much. Are you a good witch? Or a bad witch? Or should you go make a sandwich? Which witch are you? I love it. Man, I love it. It just gets me fired up. Because see, that's what God called me to do. God called me to be a thorn in the side of that wicked, effeminate spirit. Always to be at war with that. I'm telling you. As sure as I am standing here, I know it. I know it. It says right here, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. That person said, which is about ready to be deleted, said, this does not feel like the Spirit of Christ. Actually, it does. Those are the words of Jesus. These are Jesus speaking about the churches and the dangers of them being seduced by Jezebels. Amen. All right, back to the teaching. Praise the Lord. I love it because all they do, you don't know how much I love it, because all they do is prove that this needs to be done more and more. Okay, here we go. All right. Judges chapter 4, verse number 4. So you have all the references to a prophetess there. All of them. And by the way, I didn't call them any names. Oh, besides a witch, but that's what a Jezebel is a witch. I'm not ignorant of what Jezebel is. She was a witch. Beth Moore's a witch. And by the way, I thank God for Deborah and her godliness. There's nothing wrong with Deborah in that sense. It says, and Deborah, prophetess, the wife of Lapidus, she judged Israel at the time. I want to show you something. Turn to Isaiah chapter 3. You ready? Let's keep going here. Isaiah chapter 3. All right. Verse number 12. Hey, look, it's underlined in my electronic Bible. As for my people, children are their oppressors. And women rule over them. Okay, now watch. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Now, children are oppressors, women rule over them. Deborah wasn't a wicked woman. I'm not saying that. Israel was wicked. And God showed them how pathetic they were. And I'll show you that in a second. Isaiah chapter, 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Did I make everybody mad? Are you all gone? 1 Corinthians. Verse number 5. Look at this. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? See it? Uh-oh. Now you're getting too New Testament on me there, preacher. Now you're starting to show context and continuity of teaching all the way through the scriptures. Because now what we find is Paul said, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one? In this case, they were going to the law. But the principle is the same. Isn't there a wise man among you? Isn't there a man among you that could do this? Amen. Man, I'm enjoying this today, man. I'm enjoying this Bible today. I hope you are. I enjoyed putting it together yesterday, and I'm enjoying it today. Israel was in a very low state. All the warriors for God fallen. And there arose that generation that knew not the Lord. I want you to look in Judges chapter 4 here. Let's read verse number 4. And Deborah the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at the time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Doesn't say God was good with that. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and one of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand? And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, Mommy, if you'll go with me, I'll go. But, Mommy, if you don't go with me, I won't go. Do you see that? He's like holding on to a woman's coattails to the shame of Israel. Right? This is not a good thing. This is not a be... Look, there are things in the scriptures that are done that happen. The inspired, recorded, our infallible word of God, they're recorded, but not everything is supposed to be duplicated. And while Barak is sucking his thumb in the beginning of this, he turns out to be a warrior in the end. And God blesses him. But at this point, he's very timid. It shows you the lowest state of Israel. But God's commands don't change because men are wicked and of low estate. And she never takes a superiority in that sense. Just shows how messed up Israel is. And Barak said, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. So he gets rebuked by a woman here. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Now she didn't know who that was going to be. So, and Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So, that wasn't a good thing. There was a loss of honor there. Yet in the end, God still blesses him. It reminds me of a lot of men today that won't lead their families. They look to their wives for leadership. They make excuses. They don't lead. Now, at this point, it's something that we have to be careful with. I want to show you 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because, see, if you take this the wrong way, then you got women doing whatever they want to do. Like, oh, well, if my husband doesn't lead, then I'm going to do it. Because he's not being a godly man. But look what the scriptures say here and warn us of. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, look, there are people that take these accounts and be like, well, Deborah was this judge and leader and everything. So then, therefore, God wants man, or God wants woman to be equal and to be a leader and to do everything. And Paul was just a misogynist. He just hated women. That's not true. That's handling the word of God deceitfully. See, I'm not going to say that this didn't happen, because it did happen. That doesn't mean God approved of it. Just because God wanted Israel delivered. That doesn't mean that God was happy with everything in Israel. Remember, God's anger was against Israel. When God's revealed a way to do things in Scripture, when God's commanded us to do something, we don't have any right to go around that. We don't have a right to make exceptions. We don't believe in situational ethics. We're not Jesuits, like I talked about on Sunday. We don't believe in situational ethics. We're not Jesuits. We don't do those things. We don't conduct ourselves that way. It's not how we deal with things. There was a loss of honor there. Now, what are some of the other things that we find here that Deborah said here? She said about herself. Judges chapter 5. Oh, boy. Judges chapter 5 and Let's see, where am I at here? Verse number 7. This is the song of Deborah and Barak here. So Deborah and Barak have a song that they sing about this, about their victory after God gives the victory. God takes this woman, Jael, and she shoves a spike through King Sisera's head and kills him dead, deader than a doornail. And, you know, the victory ends up going to her in that sense. She's forever remembered in the pages of Scripture as someone that slew a king. But what does she say? Judges 5, verse number 7. She said, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? She was a mother. She said, I rose a mother in Israel. She talked about that. Verse number 11, they that are delivered from the noises of archers in the place of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinom. Right? Let's see. Jeremiah chapter 2. God doesn't change because, you know, men are in these different predicaments and different things that happen. But God does use, in times of disobedience, God does use things and circumstances and people. But he doesn't change his order. God never changes that. Changes his order. What happened? Well, Israel got corrected. Look at what the Bible says here. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 19. They were shamed for this. Jeremiah 2:19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Embarrassing. Right? An evil thing. Evil thing. The Bible talks about. Let's see, another one here. Again, in verse number 13, she says here, then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Remember, this is a song of David, of Barak and of her and Barak. So you've got two of them there. You got both of them there that are part of this. He was the soldier, obviously. There are no exceptions to God's rules. There are no exceptions to God's rules. And when we try to make exceptions in Scripture, look, let me say this. God never commends what he does not command. Do you understand that? God never commends what he doesn't command. So let's look at, let's see. First Timothy chapter 2. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she should be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. This is God's commands. God's commands don't change. God showed them how pathetic they were in Judges. Judges is not a book about victory. Judges is a book about Israel's backslidings after they received the land, Israel's judges that rose up in the land, Israel's continual back and forth, being wrong with God, repenting, turning to idols, living in sin. It's not a book about victory. It shows God's grace and God's long suffering. Okay? So here we have God, what God says for a woman to be. Right? Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You want to win your husband to Christ? That's how you do it. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, of the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time the holy women also trust in the Lord, adorn themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And then we go to Titus 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's God's pattern. That's God's command. That's God. Why? Because the Bible says, because Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Eve, being deceived, was in the transgression. Women, in case you haven't figured it out, you can be deceived. You can be deceived rather easily. And you can deceive rather easily. Right? Let's see. I'm looking for a verse here. Give me a second. Wow, keep silences 10 times. Isn't that something? That's the law. Look at that. That's the 10th time that's in there. Woo! Look at that! The 10th time that's in there, look what it says. Let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, obviously, this isn't the church. This is a Bible study that we're doing online. But the point is, what it shows is it shows God's place for women. It shows that what went on with Deborah, what went on at that time, was it was a time of rebellion. It was a time when the men were effeminate, when they didn't live for God, when they couldn't stand up against anything, when they couldn't, when they didn't. When they didn't lead. There were no godly men leading. Right? So God says under the law, he says, look what it says here. As also saith the law, and that's the tenth time. Ten Commandments, the law represents the number ten. That hasn't changed. When women try to take that, those texts, or men, and they try to enable women to do those things, they create contradictions. They create contradictions. That's what happens. And I've seen it. I see it in churches. You know, it's funny because in churches today, you have all these women teachers and these women meetings and these women things going on. And it gets out of hand. And that's how you got the rise of like the Beth Moores and everything. I'm not for all these women meetings. When a woman teaches other women, I don't believe it's in a meeting like that. I believe it's life. I believe it's side by side. I believe it's one on one. I don't believe it's like a mini church setup. I don't believe it's like a mini setup for a church. Right? I don't believe that's what it is. I believe when the elder women teach the younger women, that's how they teach them. Coming along them side by side and encouraging them and helping them. We have gotten so far out of hand in the churches today of what biblical Christianity is. It's just unbelievable. And with the rise of feminism and everything else, when a man preaches boldly about something, now it's not Christ-like. Now when you look at like, just like that, I was literally repeating what Jesus said when that, whoever that person came on and said, that doesn't sound very Christ-like. I mean, literally. That ought to tell you. Those were Jesus' words preaching against that. So is the prophetess, what do we see in it? Well, if you study it out, it's usually somebody that's singing. And when they tried to usurp authority, or with Deborah, we won't deny that there was more that was going on. That all these men were coming to her for judgment. But that's nothing to emulate. That's nothing to follow. The Bible, Paul never, look, the Apostle Paul never told you and I. Look what he said. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Follow the faith We follow the faith of these saints. Look, and then go to Hebrews. By the way, it's called Hebrews, not Shebrews. Just kidding. Just playing around. Verse number 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies of peace. The Bible never says by faith she lied. Well, she did lie. Right? But the Bible never says that was by faith. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She received the spies with peace. She sent them out another way. The Bible says that she was blessed for that, but not for lying. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak. Does it mention Deborah? Why? Wasn't exactly an honoring thing. Deborah's not mentioned here. Why not? It's kind of shameful what happened. It was shameful that a woman was doing those things that really she shouldn't have been there doing. Right? God never said that duplicate this, follow this. No, it says whose faith follow. We follow that which is right. Moses struck the rock the second time and the water came out. But God punished him for that. But the water still came out and the people drank. Yeah, but God told him not to do that. God didn't honor Moses' anger. He honored Moses, but he didn't honor his anger. Okay? And that's the same thing here. Barak is called the hero of the faith here. She's not. I don't believe the Lord wanted, in fact, I know that he didn't want us to emulate that. That wasn't something to copy. Just like the different times that David lied in the scriptures. Right? By the way, calling somebody a witch is not name calling. It's an accurate description of somebody that prays to the four winds. Oh my goodness, that is so practical. I don't know what you're going to do with that. Because now you can't comment on this anymore, and you have to sit there and have that in your brain. That witch prays to the four winds. Anyway. People are crazy. So we don't emulate, just like I don't want you to emulate my mistakes. I make mistakes. I'm not proud of them. I've had to repent of them. Sometimes I don't handle things correctly. I realize that. But the Bible says, whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation, what is the end of their life? Like, what direction do they go? Where does their life go? Right. And here we have in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2, a bishop must be blameless. If this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Yep. Well, that settles that one. For this cause, in Titus chapter 1, verse number 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife. Yeah, God didn't change his word to fit modern day contextual arguments. God didn't change his word . God made it very clear . And by the way, take a good look at Congress today and you'll also figure out how absolutely insane it is, right? The emotional appeals and the emotional appeals and everything else that goes on today, that's all it is. It's just a bunch of nonsense. All a big bunch of games. And the reason why? I'll tell you one of the reasons why. A bunch of women ruling the show. A bunch of women in there in the mix of it. You got the Speaker of the House, a female. You got the Vice President, a female. Mm-hmm. It's the way it is. And no doubt they'll do something with Biden so she's the president. And that's the way it is. So, anyway. We have the strangest times we live in. And you know what? God's people. God's people. Need to stand up and live right. And be right. And do right. Because these people are a bunch of babies in this world today. And people can't handle the truth. If you give it to them, they can't handle it. They just can't. And that's where we live right now. literally where we live, so the world we live in now. So God's people need to base everything they do on truth and on righteousness. Because we are entering some really nutty times. Which means that you and I need to stand for the truth.
Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought.
Oh, it's amazing how mad people get about those things. Crazy times, man.
I've wandered far away from God. Coming home, the paths of sin too long I trod. Lord, I'm coming home.
Coming home, coming. Open wide.
soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home, my strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home.
Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love.
Amen. All right, everybody. I hope you learned something today. Follow the scriptures down. I hope you learned something from it all. And praise the Lord for the opportunity to be able to teach on this subject. And I'll be teaching you some more from the book of Judges and some of those seeming contradictions that people are problem texts and teachings that people don't quite understand sometimes and everything else. Just remember, this world is waxing worse and worse, and it's getting wicked. But, you know, I find when I'm looking at this stupidity of everything, and it's just, it's hard to grasp. But keep your mind on the book. The world's going to go the way the world goes. We're not going to change it any. So just keep trusting the Lord and keep your eyes on Christ. And, you know, things are just stupid. So anyway, out there, but we've got a job to do, and that's to preach the gospel to the nations. And that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's to preach the word of God, to learn it, to grasp it, to live for God, and grow thereby. So anyway, you pray for our ministry. If the Lord leads you to support us, you know, pray for us, number one. We would appreciate that. And also, if you want to give to our ministry, you can do that as well. There are ways that you can give to our ministry. If you go to our sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley page, if you go on there and you click on give right there, you can PayPal us to salvationpreacher@gmail.com or to pastorcooley@icloud.com, either way, whichever. And, you can send it there, or you can mail us something if you'd like to. That's down at the end of our page right here on Sermon Audio. There's the mailing address right there where you can mail something if the Lord so leads. Pray for us, and that the Lord would continue to bless our work and bless the gospel message going out, and be with my wife as we're preparing for the birth of a new baby here sometime in the next couple weeks. So just pray for us. And that the Lord would continue to work in our hearts and our lives and give us safety and give us a healthy baby and all that. All right. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. And we'll see you on Friday.